The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM.
Good morning. Good morning, dear listeners. So welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And, it's the first of, December. We are in December 2025. And, you are listening to your number one favorite, radio station. That is, Eagle FM Namibia. And we are greeting you wherever you are finding yourself. We understand some of you are on your way to work and some of you are planning your day ahead. But just want to indicate to you that it's always very important to be positive when you are waking up. And also look back to say you were in January, now you are in December. And ask yourself that question, what is that you did not do to yourself, that you promised to do to yourself in the past 11 months? What is that you have planned to do that you did not do? But remember, you still have 30 days. You still have 30 days before the end of 2025. And you need to make sure that the fact that you are awake is also an achievement. The fact that you are awake, you are healthy, you are listening to Eagle FM Namibia is also an achievement. And don't blame yourself too much because life is not fair. And do not expect it to be fair. You did your best and there is still much time that you can use for you to make sure that, you know, in terms of those goals, in terms of those objectives, you are moving toward them and, you are exactly where you are supposed to be. Just a matter of, pushing and also looking for guidance and also assistance where it's possible. But yeah, like any other day, this is your number one favorite, radio station. This is the time that we speak about global affairs. This is the time that we look at, continental issues. And we look at what are those things that affect our bread and butter, what are those things that affect our security, and also what are those things that need to be done, particularly when it comes to national developmental plans, and also what is my role in that bigger goal of national developmental plan, and indeed continental developmental plan, because, you know, sometimes we think we are just an individual out there. But for you to have Africa, you don't only look at other people, but you are part of that bigger structure. And there is no one in terms of the law who is bigger than the other. But in terms of how we do things, remember that everybody has a role to play, especially when it's coming to national and also continental development. So what is happening around the world? What is happening around the world? And also, we also need to look at the end of elections. You know, last week it was a very interesting week of elections. And we have been able to see the results out there, especially where you see regaining of power from SWAPO party, especially in various towns, particularly in the southern part of Namibia. And you also see candidates, particularly independent candidates, maintaining their positions, which is quite a development in the Namibian democracy. And also to see that people, they vote, you know, based on various factors. But at the end of the day, what is necessary is when the councillor is going to be sworn in, and also when is real work going to start, and also to see in terms of the case of magistrate, to what extent the magistrate and the Ministry of Justice and Labor are coming together to make sure that that of which has been under discussion is solved, and also to see stability in terms of judicial system, and also effectiveness in terms of, you know, administration of justice. And yeah, before that, before we come to the main conversation of today, we need to look at, what is, happening, what is happening in the world, what are the world leaders saying, what are the world leaders saying in terms of peace, in terms of the economy of the world, and also in terms of security. It was indicated that the Israeli's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has asked Israel's President to grant him pardon during his long-running corruption trial that divided the country. You know, the thing that you need to know is that when it comes to law, you can run, but you will not be faster than the law, because if the law catch up with you, understand that you have to face it, and it has to face you. But looking at this point in time, you'll be able to realize that the Prime Minister of Israel, that is Benjamin Netanyahu, is known, you know, he's asking the President of Israel to pardon him, especially in an ongoing trial. That is a trial against, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu, that is corruption. And there are different people within Israel who are divided, particularly when it coming to prosecuting of Benjamin Netanyahu. But he stated that at the end of his 5-year trial on bribery, fraud charges would be in public interest, would be in public interest for him to be granted bail and also for him to be pardoned. Because the president has a right to make sure that even if you are prosecuted, has a right to pardon you, which means that you become an innocent person. It depends on the situation, and in some countries also depends on the interests of the country, and also depends on security, and also mercy of the president. So that's why, you know, there is that provision, even in Namibia, through that the president can release some of the prisoners, depends on their behavior. But this is what is, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu is also asking the president of Israel. A lot of people when they look at Israel, they think Benjamin Netanyahu is a president, but he's just a prime minister. But there is somebody again who is in charge. There is somebody again who is in charge, especially when it comes to the leadership of Israel. And that's why Benjamin Netanyahu is asking for that from the president of Israel. But it's yet to see. But let us look at this news and also be able to interpret to say, is it the right thing after all the activities? Is it the right thing for the president of Israel to pardon Benjamin Netanyahu? Or he need to face the law fully? And what is that he is scared of, especially when it comes to his own country? And what would be the punishment if he is found guilty? What would be the punishment if he is found guilty? And remember, before you go to the conversation, between October 2023 and also August 2025, there approximately over 65,000 people in Gaza died due to Israel force intervention after Hamas attacked Israel, and also kidnapped killed around 100 people there. But the retaliation was condemned by international community. Then when it comes to the independent investigation which was done by United Nations, indicate that Benjamin Netanyahu and his former Minister of Defense should be held responsible for the atrocities which happen, and there is a degree of genocide which have happened in Gaza. But you know, looking at that situation, let us look at this news and move ahead.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has asked the country's president to formally pardon him. He claims an end to his 5-year trial on bribery and fraud charges would be in the public interest. Critics accuse him of prolonging the Gaza war to keep his coalition together so he can stay in office and keep his legal problems at bay. The state of Israel faces immense challenges alongside tremendous opportunities. To fend off the threats and to realize the opportunities, national unity is required. The continuation of the trial tears us apart from within, stirs up this division, and deepens rifts. I'm sure, like many others in the nation, that an immediate conclusion of the trial would greatly help to lower the flames and promote the broad reconciliation that our country so desperately needs.
I have an idea. Mr. President, why don't you give him a pardon?
While Netanyahu plainly has the support of U.S. President Donald Trump, the Israeli opposition and many of the country's citizens do not agree. I call on President Herzog. You cannot grant him a pardon without an admission of guilt, an expression of remorse, and an immediate retirement from political life. Isaac Herzog's office has acknowledged receipt of Netanyahu's submission, saying it's been passed on to the Justice Ministry's Pardons Department. Presidential pardons have almost never been granted in Israel before a conviction.
Yeah, that is what is happening in Israel, where Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is cornered by the Justice Department there. He's cornered, and it seems like that case will find him guilty, especially the case of corruption, and seems like he has also international support. Especially at one occasion when President of the United States of America, Donald Trump, has indicated or requested in a joking manner the President of Israel to pardon Benjamin Netanyahu. But, you know, there's an indication that it has never happened in the history of Israel. And opposition parties there in Israel are pushing for, you know, admission of guilty and also retirement of Benjamin Netanyahu from political office. But the argument of Benjamin Netanyahu here is that, you know, Israel is faced with bigger challenges. It's faced with bigger challenges, and pardoning him will make it easy for Israel to face other threats. But it's quite, you know, interesting to see. But interesting to see, to say, after showing all the muscles, and also all the power, and also under your leadership, the death of over 65,000 people, women and children, over 100, you know, 100 journalists and the medical professionals. And just one little thing that corner you. Because remember, he's not being trialed because of what happened in Gaza. He's been trialed because of what happened in his country, especially the ongoing case of corruption. And yeah, I used to say, can be very powerful, but there is one little thing that will corner you. There is one little thing that will put you at your place. But let's see. Let's see how the president of Israel is going to react, and also if the pardon will be offered with what provision. Because one of the arguments on the table is that if Benjamin Netanyahu want a presidential pardon, he must admit guilty, and also he must retire from political activities. Remember, the politics of Israel, even until now, is not ruled by the majority. There is a coalition government that is led by Benjamin Netanyahu. That is why opposition leaders, they also have a say in that leadership. But looking at this context, to say what will happen if the case is finalized, and Benjamin Netanyahu is found guilty. Why a very powerful man who commands one of the strongest armies cannot hire best legal defenders or best lawyers in the world to defend him? Seems like, you know, at some point you find yourself at a situation where you don't have option. But let's see what, how things are going to turn out. and also how the developments are going to be, especially when you look at Israel, and in terms of the law, even if somebody is hated, or even if somebody has done certain or dangerous crimes, he's still a human being, but at that point, or at this point in time, he's not even prosecuted for that. But remember, he also has an ongoing case, an international, the National Criminal Court of Justice, especially regarding genocide in Gaza. But seems like the days when it comes to development, when it's come to development of international peace and justice, seems like the law is taking its course, because nobody have seen powerful men such as Benjamin Netanyahu begging for assistance, especially from his country, if a person has a power to attack Iran, if a person has a power to attack Hezbollah, but does not have power to fight, defend himself. Seems like there are things that we cannot run away from, and there are things that we can handle. But let's see. He's known in Israel as Bibi. They call him a political magician, because the way he have been surviving politics, it has been very not for anybody. But let's see if Bibi's magic or political tactics have finished. But let's see how things are going to be, because Benjamin Netanyahu is not an ordinary politician. Because he's the only politician in the history of Israel who convinced the U.S. to enter directly into war, or to finally bomb Iran at some point. But let us see how things are going to turn out, and also what will happen post the decision of the president of Israel. Yeah, it's 30 minutes past the hour of 6, 31 minutes past the hour of 6, and you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. We are looking at international news. We are looking at what is happening around the world, and let's come to Africa. Let's come to Africa, and also let's see what is happening in the continent of Africa. It was indicated that the former Nigerian president Goodluck Jonathan has criticized Guinea-Bissau's recent military takeover, describing it as a ceremonial coup after soldiers appeared on television claiming control of the country. The events followed a report of heavy gunfire near the presidential palace just 3 days after national elections. You know, there's an unusual thing which have happened in Guinea-Bissau, where while people were busy waiting for election results, then the military took over and indicating that nobody should fry in, nobody should fry out, and all the state operations must be closed until further notice. And looking at history, and also looking at what have happened for the past, I was reading somewhere, what happened for the past 5 years in the records, there are 10. This one of Guinea-Bissau become the 10th military coup, which have happened over the past 5 years in Africa. But it's also a question of peace, security, and also stability in Africa, to say in terms of democracy, where are we standing? But you must also be able to realize that when it comes to the records of peace and security over the past 5 years, you look at Burkina Faso, you look at Niger, you look at Mali, you look at Madagascar, you look at Gabon, and you look at the many other countries, particularly the French colonies, but not only the French colonies, even the Portuguese colonies, and there is no exception. But you also look at attempt coup and internal political conflicts. Look also at the attempt coups and internal political conflict. Apart from 10 successful coups, there are also other internal political conflicts which the states have also managed to handle very well, or such as, you know, not really to say the state managed to handle them very well, but also to say the state have managed to avoid them. You look at Tanzania, you look at Cameroon, you look at last year, Mozambique, where over 2,000 high maximum prisoners were released, and thousands of people lost their lives, and some left countries, and you know, prosecution of oppositions. You look at many other countries, conflicts. You look at Kenya, the Generation Z, but things have been, you know, dealt with. But you look at Madagascar. But here, President Goodluck Jonathan, the former president of, you know, Nigeria, condemned such development, particularly in Guinea-Bissau. But one must also be able to look at peace and security, to say, in terms of Africa, who is in charge of peace and security, and how much African Union is spending in the operations of peace and security. But when you look at the statistics and the records are indicating to say, for example, in 2025, the records are indicating to say, when it comes to the budget of African Union, you'll be able to realize that when it comes to the budget of African Union, which is estimated to be around 608 million US dollars, large portion of that is coming from external, and they must be able to realize that, you know, African Union states or member states, they contribute around 32% there, or 33% of the overall budget, which means that if you want to conduct peace operations, you also need to make sure that you also look outside for assistance, either from the UN or from other bodies. That is why when you are dealing with peace and security in Africa, it's one of the major things which impact or which you know, affect trade, and also affect you know, development of the continent. Because if you have over 60% of your budget coming from outside, doesn't mean that you know, that you do not have control. You do not have control. You do not have power, and it means that you are at the mercy of others. However, African Union has also a goal of you know, self-sustaining. They also have a goal of sustenance. And when it has a goal of self-sustaining, somebody may also want to ask to say, when African Union has a goal of self-funding, until when? Until when? And did it happen before? And the question that, you know, somebody may ask is to say, what model of funding African Union is going to adopt, if even every country that you go in Africa, in terms of their project and development, they look at outside to say, we need more money, we need more money. And they are always asking yourself to say, how much money is enough for a country to develop? How much money is enough for a country to stand on its own? So let us look at this news of, you know, Goodluck Jonathan, who is condemning the ceremonial coup, which he noted to be a ceremonial coup in Guinea-Bissau, and also let's see the development
erupting only. Former Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan is accusing Guinea-Bissau's leader of carrying out a ceremonial coup to hold on to power. The takeover followed reports of heavy gunfire near the presidential palace, erupting only 3 days after national elections.
For want of better word, I'll say maybe it was a ceremonial coup. Because for two things, it is the president, President Bello, that announced the coup. Before later, a military man came up to address the world that they were in charge of everywhere. Then Embalo has already announced the coup, which is strange. Not only announcing the coup, but Embalo, while the coup took place, was using his phone and addressing media organizations across the world that he has been arrested.
Embalo was already facing a legitimacy crisis, with the opposition insisting his mandate had expired and refusing to recognize him as president.
Military don't take over governments, and the sitting president that they overthrew will be allowed to be addressing press conferences and announcing that he has been arrested. Why does this happen? Who is fooling who? Basically, what happened in Guinea-Bissau is quite disturbing to me, who believes in democracy.
Guinea-Bissau's long history of coups looms large again, with analysts warning the latest turmoil threatens fragile democratic gains in a nation already battered by poverty and drug trafficking.
Yeah, it's quite interesting to see, and I did not see that analysis coming in, because with an analysis of Goodluck Jonathan, former president of Nigeria, it's indicating to say what have happened in Guinea-Bissau is not a real coup, but it's a ceremonial coup, because his argument is that there is no way a president who is overthrown and arrested and is given an opportunity to address the media. And also the other thing that Mr. Goodluck Jonathan is indicating to say, I think it's a trick of Embalo. That is the outset president of Guinea-Bissau. He said it's his trick to prolong his stay into power, because it's like, to him, he is indicating that they have a deal with the military. Because remember, this coup came before the announcement of election results. Before the announcement of election results. And Jonathan is also saying there is no way the president who is arrested, or the president is the one who announced the coup on TV before those who took power. That's why it's part of analysis, especially when it's coming to democracy, to say, those who have been in political arena for quite some time, they have a lot of tricks in their bags that you will not fathom. They have a lot of tricks. That's why Goodluck Jonathan is saying, no, who is fooling who? There's no way you are arrested and you are calling people and telling them you are arrested. What arrest with freedom? And also addressing the media that there is a coup. But yeah, it's a matter of analysis and also a matter of questioning the institution of democracy and also the political actors who have power. Also to make sure that those institutions of democracy are used effectively to make sure that they serve their purpose, and also they assist in the development of Africa, especially when it comes to African development. Yeah, while we are there, let's look at the short commercial break. Then we also look at Democratic Republic of Congo. We look at peace. And also to say, to what extent is the peace agreement is in DRC between M23 and also the government of Democratic Republic of Congo. But for now, let's look at the short commercial break. Then we can come back to the conversation. And remember, today we are going to speak about health and the economy. We are going to speak about health and the economy. We are going to look at, what does it mean to have a healthy nation? What is the relationship between strong, effective and healthy human capital in the development of the state? And also to ask questions to say, there's a lot of things happening in the media platform. There are a lot of things happening, especially when you look at medications, when you look at medicine, to say, why do we look outside for our medication? And also the question of questioning to say, are this medication really going to solve our problems, or they are just going to prolong our, you know, they are just going to prolong our lives so we can continue to depend on these pharmaceutical companies? And also the question of asking to say, is it really the intention of a pharmaceutical company for me to have a healthy body that I don't depend much on continue reboosting it? And to what extent is internal medical research in Africa, in Namibia too, and what contribution do we have to, you know, our own medication? And why do we depend so much on external, you know, medical care while we have our own here? And also, what can we do in order to make sure that when it's coming to the economy, we don't only invest in terms of human capital, but we also invest in terms of research, and also invest in terms of incorporating traditional medication to the mainstream medicine. And looking at other countries, you look at China, you look at Russia, you look at Cuba, what they did well is that they did not abandon their traditional medication. They make sure that they balance the two models. And that's why critical chronic diseases, when you go to those countries, you are sorted, because with them, they did not abandon their knowledge, but they make sure that they fine-tune them, and also they upgrade their games when it's coming to medical research, and also, you know, when it's coming to improvement of their health standard. And you can also look at the example of Japan. Japan is a country with the oldest population, because, you know, they have high life expectation due to their ability to take care of their health, and also to make sure that they strengthen their medications, not like here in Africa. Because in Africa, just see a hepatitis B, just see a Ebola is here, just see a cholera is here, just see a malaria killed millions of children, just see HIV is out of control, just see thousands, you know, through age one or any other diseases, and you're asking yourself to say, to what extent, when you look at the reports of World Health Organization, look at the case studies of World Health Organization, is the face of Africa there? Is the children of Africa suffering? Is an African mother who is in their pamphlets? But you're asking yourself to say, are we just a case study, or there is a lot that we can do to make sure that when it's coming to Africa, in terms of health, and in terms of our economy, we upgrade those games, and we invest in our people, and also in our knowledge, and what is the relationship between health and the economy. So, good morning.
Yes, I'm
good. Yes, how are you?
I'm
well, yeah. Mm-hmm. How is December?
December?
Yeah, we are in December.
what is different?
No. It's also a matter of saying, no, it has been a long time and now we are in December. How is December treating you? That is the question. or you are just continuing with life?
Did you know that sometimes it's just created unnecessarily?
No, you know, too much knowledge is a problem also. We must pretend like normal human beings.
It's like you just created unnecessary narrative.
Okay. Okay, how are you doing?
I know it's fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what... Yeah.
On the healthy and economy.
Yeah.
You know, there is only one thing. And it all started to education.
Yeah.
Because education is the center of everything there.
Yeah.
as I always emphasize in the fact that, you know, we are, education is not about to compare and contrast.
Yeah.
But that is not what we are teaching. For us, in our education.
Can you explain to somebody who is there to say, when you speak about compare and contrast?
Compare and contrast is like, there are two forces, man.
Yeah.
There are two forces that are complementing each other here now.
They are diverse.
They are diverse, but they are complementing each other. They are like not enemies, you know? Because you have to see education from the concept of yin and yang. If you are from Asia,
you
can think like that. But if you are Namibian, you must think from the concept to say ekubuneramo.
Okay.
That is the same.
You are a bit fast. Come closer.
Yeah, the system must be able to compete.
Okay.
Yeah, because now we are just taught to use.
Look, I don't know if you are using earphones, but sometimes I can hear you, sometimes I cannot hear you. Just stay in one station. Yeah, now I can hear you.
Oh, sometimes I put on the loudspeaker because I don't want to put the phone on my ear.
Oh, no, just speak like that, I can hear you. Okay.
Yeah. So, that's why I said, now, the education system that we are using now.
Yeah.
It's only, you are taught to like the old banking system, deposit and withdraw, memorizing, and you are taught to memorize and use. Memorizing and use, reproduce the same thing. Ne? That's why you see that our education says that it never produce a critical thinker. No.
I hear you.
Yeah, and when you see also, you find that our people are unable to produce anything, to come up with anything. But they are good at use. Because that was the education give them. When you talk of the Chinese.
Yeah.
And in the modern medicine and also the contemporary medicine in the world. It's because for them they are teaching compared to contrast education. Because when you see Chinese say, tell you, no, we use communism with Chinese characteristics.
Yeah.
They adapt their Chinese with tradition. You understand? With culture and tradition, and they adapt some features of what? Communism.
Yeah.
You see, but us now, where do we adapt democracy?
We throw away everything.
We throw away everything. You see? Mm-hmm. Because you are eating still in a society where people tell you, this tribal, what? Apparently, this tribal homeland, something.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing homeland. The homeland were here. Nobody brought homeland here. Who brought the Redos here? Who brought the Namas, the Wambu? Kazango and Katrivi and what was. You call them homeland. But you were made to believe that there is the whites and the colonialism that created homeland. But now when you want to say, look, can we remind, say, look, you don't need region, you still need this. Why do you need a governor and castle when you have the king and the subject?
It's a good argument, but the success of your argument will be the end of a lot of people's bread, and you'll be in trouble. It's a good argument to put on the table.
That's how I said that.
Yeah.
It's the same. It's like you always have two forces that are fighting. That's why I said that. When you come to medicine, our people had the sickness did not come today in a contemporary world. No. Sickness has been there, even when you see a white man in the eye. But what happened? But when you go to even those that are taught a condition to say, if you teach a compare and contrast, you say, you have a migraine, for instance. If you ask them, the Wambos and the how do they used to treat it?
They have a way.
Like that.
It's a very good question because some things we're supposed to maintain. Maybe we did not keep records, or maybe we were taught self-hate. That one I can agree that we were taught self-hate. Whatever a black person come up with is evil.
When we were taught contraceptive, family planning, did you know the history where people came from? Back then, when you get pregnant before or what, marriage, they have to kill you, have to be burned and what.
Mm-hmm.
And the world revolved. But there were some clever people who realized to say, look, our children are going to finish.
Yeah. But that thing is, did you know that
there are families, still now,
they do that.
Those who still have the knowledge to say, on the table, we're
going
to have a condom.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. Now, that thing.
Yeah.
There's disadvantage. There's no system without disadvantage.
Yeah.
It's to say, the modern technologies that we have now in terms of contraceptive.
It's more dangerous.
It's more dangerous because diet even in Okansan, look, because our people never prevented. You know the, what things that was done. Undo kwashipa, haikoma simbo, or rutulitali
yogomo.
Now you come up with a system that blocks the system.
It's true.
You see, Mara, you wanted to say, you interfere with the normal, the nature. Number two, again, you also inject a product on the lot of women, not that is the problem. Now you have people that are sick, have cancer,
and also it also changed the body structure and all these things. People become completely different.
Oh, and that is going to be here.
Yeah.
And then that is going to be more too unnecessarily at the end of the day, and then hopefully some complication with menstruation and something.
I hear you.
But our people are suffering in silence like this. But where is education?
It's a very good question. It's really a very good point that you brought.
Yeah, we always come back to what we were saying the other day. Monopoly and protectivism. Whoever come up with a system, he always to create a monopoly. In the world, if you see in the world of medical, there was that guy called Dr. Sebi.
Dr. Sebi.
Yes. Just go to him, Dr. Sebi, to just come.
Okay.
And you follow what he's told. He's the guy who used to treat all the diseases, including the HIV, cancer, without even this modern contemporary. Because he used tradition. Because if you see in his documentary, one only mentioned one thing to say, look, his theory of teaching could have collapsed the medical school that has been built almost maybe for 5,000 or whatever years now.
When you see a news like somebody came up with a medication to treat HIV completely, you hear rumors to say, no, this person is not allowed, or disappearance, or all these things. But sometimes you come to believe to say, what will happen if you come up with a destructive theory that... How many of these pharmaceutical companies are going to close down? Even your traditional way of doing it, if you have certain knowledge about it and you manage to cure it.
Look, Jombe, you just said it to say me.
Yeah.
When I said, why do you need the region, a governor and a council, when you have the king and the headman?
Mm-hmm.
It's a duplicate.
Yeah, it is.
You see, what did you say? You tell me, no, you are going to take bread from other
people. Yeah. No, it's true.
You see, now when you come up with an efficient method, like Dr. Sedby, that's where the problem starts. And that's why we are fighting. Even the people who have accepted democracy in this country, because they wanted the opportunity to take, they could not sometimes become leaders in the traditional setting.
In the old setting, yeah. In the old setting,
they can't. That's why. They find an alternative. Look, the world is all about competitiveness, two forces fighting each other, and the alternative. But sometimes you need balance.
You need all of them.
You need all of them. That's why the Chinese, why they find balance in everything. Because the first theory they are taught in school is yin and yang.
But even Japan, I think Japan, they also incorporated their tradition some way, somehow. Although they are too Western, but they really complement with their tradition.
You know, that's why even that system of that, the Akumpacha also fell, Yunani, is still emanating from that one, yin and yang. Because the first theory Chinese taught, Chinese don't taught enemy. You must also listen when the Chinese are talking, even when they are in a trade war with the Americans. You must always listen to that guy who always talks to say, no, China is cannot allow, is the biggest, what, all this. Listen to that guy. The word enemy is not there.
No, and they are very good with diplomacy also. They are very good. I see. No, they are very good.
They don't mention the word enemy. And they don't know what enemy, apparently hyperion or superpower. We are not superpower. We are not want to become superpower.
Yeah.
But we wanted to be treated equal. What is the equality in terms of the yin and yang? Black is equal like white. Simple. Whatever. They just want equality. Why? Because that theory of yin and yang is still balanced. It's still balanced. That's why you see Chinese, you never see them talking about enemy. Because that's how they were taught from the beginning. Because that is their level of education.
Now, even in
their healthy system and medical system and tradition and modern, they are just trying to balance. What is going to happen?
And that is a defense of every person who found drunk to say, no, we are following the scriptures.
Are you following the scripture? From a balanced point of view.
It's a good question. It's a good question.
Don't overuse. That's why I said.
Yeah.
For us, it's an issue. You know why things are, because it has to do with knowledge and understanding how things work.
Yeah.
But the Chinese, they have been taught properly from the beginning. Because for them, it's all about balance. Because that is theory of yin and yang.
But how did they manage to do that? They were also colonized.
Look, you know, the person...
Or their foundations are strong.
You know where the whole thing came from. The whole country, if you heard there was a drugs war in that. I still have to wait. To find that
Drango or Chinese Revolution? What
drugs.
Well, I don't know that.
You know, new war or something.
Okay.
The thing is, it's like when the Western came in, the only first thing that when they find out that they are unable, they start now doing drugs. So that the nation will be in alcohol and drugs like that. And that's why just search how Hong or Taiwan become like a kind of independent from China. Because the people who were reading the country back then, they were the one who were part of the drug cartel. Now, when the leaders like Deng Mao Tse-tung realize that no, the nation is going to collapse, they fight these guys, and these guys run to Taiwan, island.
Mm-hmm.
To say no, they are going to fight back to come back.
Mm-hmm.
But they never come back up to today. Then General Mao and took over.
Mao Tse-tung.
Yeah, Mao Tse-tung took over. Then they try now to rebuild. They were also colonized, but there was a time that they needed to sit and what? And analyze. That's why they closed the country. China was, for maybe 30 years or something, was a closed state. There's nothing coming in. They only receive, but they don't get out. All the Chinese that went out those years during Mao Tse-tung was in there. They were all spies of the what? Of the state.
Mm-hmm.
Because up to now, Chinese, not every Chinese can go out of the country like that. Most of them, they go through the program of the government. They are taught their relationship between the state and...
They know us better than we know them. I know.
Yes.
And they study people very well.
Wake up to say, look, you, most of them that you see here, they went through the government program.
And the government is the one who is doing real business.
Yes. They do, look. Did you know that there is a concept in the world that they don't want the government to be a business, to do business?
Come again?
The concept in the world.
Yeah, no, that is capitalism to say, give us freedom to do.
Yes.
It's pure capitalism.
You get pure capitalism there, the state is nowhere. Apparently, it's just an enabler.
Yeah.
Now, that's why you see the word of privatization. You see the word like public partnership.
Yeah.
Investment, all those things. But the Chinese didn't see it like that. When you're going in China, the government is doing business 100%. But it doesn't mean that the private business cannot also do business.
But
because the
government
is trying to push the public from ordinary businesses. You understand? Let's say, for instance, the public transport.
Now, I want you to come back to the medication. I don't know if I call it a tribe. You have Ovahimba people. They have a very strong foundation in their tradition, and they managed to persist throughout a lot of transformation. But they are still standing. You can say they are still intact in terms of their medication. Do you think, in terms of medication, their knowledge is incorporated, or is already taken away by foreigners, or do we still have a chance to incorporate what they have in terms of medication, to incorporate them into our system?
There's nothing which has been incorporated here.
Do we still have a chance to utilize their knowledge?
Even after 100 years, if the people with those knowledge exist, we still have that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Even today, we still have that opportunity. It's a will. It's a political will. One I have to understand. Now, the danger that I have always seen, we are in a franchise system.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I'm going to incorporate that system. Imagine now running a KFC. Then they say, no, you have to take a chicken from ABCD. Now you want to bring in a marathon chicken from the village. I know.
The
opportunity is there.
Yeah.
But we first need to understand that you are in a franchise system.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when you pay this license, it's through Commonwealth. If you don't know. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Those licenses to Commonwealth and whatever, to UN and whatever, you are paying franchise fees. The license for using the system they give you.
But
create those structures like that for you to start paying.
I also have a question. A question, when you look at the head of WTO, I look when she started, she looks like revolutionary, and Africa was supposed to be benefiting from those trade laws too. But when you look at how things are, it's like Africans were just put there, but we are not really in charge of the whole system, because it's not only about licenses, you have said, it's also about a lot of things, even in terms of trading. Until now, we are not equal as any other nations. We are still behind in terms of Africa. Yeah.
You, you cannot be equal when you don't understand. How can you be equal when you don't understand? Look,
but we are heading, are we not heading those institutions?
Bossa. Tara.
Yeah.
Look, when you are employed in a franchise system, in a company like the bank, as a teller, what are you going to do?
But they make me a CEO. They make me a CEO.
Are you equal to the shareholder?
No, I'm not.
No. Why? Because they tell you what to do. Even if you bring in a knowledge, they still have to filter it proper. They make sure that you are not. That's why at the end of the day, you are not employed there forever. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
There will be a time then they flush you out of the system. Why? So that the system remains.
You are not bigger than the system.
Sarah, the only problem that we have is to say we are in a franchise system. And then the franchise system promote monopoly. Then the monopoly and also protectionism of their system.
Now you are saying we cannot use the existing system to incorporate what you want. We need a completely different system, or we just need other system to complement. What are you saying?
Look, you just, when you understand the system, only when you can steal from the system.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot steal a system which you don't understand. You know, even the recent concluded election. But it's like, but there's something wrong with that. Or we all know. You know what the problem is? Nobody understood. All the opposition's part, they don't understand how the system works, even if they are participants. Except for the government, for the ruling party, who is the custodian of both state and government. Yes. Even if they manipulate, how? You cannot, because you don't know. This is what you, that's why they always say, no, we have been cheated, we are robbed, but how did you know if you are robbed? Why are you not coming up with a remedy? Because, to be honest, we don't know. We don't know. You cannot fix a system which you don't understand. And that is the center of everything, to say, even if you say, no, we have been going to vote every time election ended, there's no change. Because the people that you are putting there don't know. Even you yourself, you also don't know. Your responsibility is just to go vote.
And in my analysis, I think Namibians, we put ourselves down by not go and vote. That's why if you have, for example, 100 people who, are eligible voters, for example, and only 30 showed up to go and vote. And I will not even be a happy councillor if I'm voted by 20 people who only there. Let me say you have 100 people, only 30 who came up show and vote, then 20 people vote me. Then 10 voted you. I won't be happy. And that is what we are dealing with also, to say maybe it's education, as we are saying, to say education need to be intensified, so that we can make a real policy that can affect everybody.
Let me tell you one thing.
Yeah.
If democracy is a principle of majority, if you have 100 eligible voters and only 20 turn up, then why do we have to follow the result of the 20? Why the majority, they have already pronounced themselves?
You know, no, sometimes it's what you can interpret. But I hear you.
Because the law was supposed to say.
I hear you, yeah.
If 50% of the eligible that did not vote, then those two results are not valid. Because you cannot have 20 people who voted.
No, I hear you.
To decide on the, because it's majority most. Is it not majority?
Yeah, it is majority, but I think what do you think would happen now
in Bukalo, the eligible voters, they were what? How many? Almost like 1,000, for instance. But only 400 or 300 who voted.
No,
it cannot be like that. That's why I said the democracy is not really, in terms of elections, it's not about majority. It's a lie. Because you only have the group of people who are forcing things. Because if the majority did not vote, then why do you think those people are not legitimate? Because they are all being rejected by the majority for not voting. What are you going to tell them? What do they want to hear? Those who did not vote. What are the reasons? Whose responsibility is it? No, because people just lack understanding, because people don't know that, look, the most important election in the country is the local authority election. Forget about, because the national representative, that is national, ne? But the things that speak in the locality where you are is, especially at the level of organization. Because no person in a rural area fighting for land, fighting for sometimes electricity, fighting for housing and what. Because these people they have their own way of living. They build their own houses and what. They have the land, not only costing even 600 or something. But when they come to urban area, you can came from a formal housing in the north there. Electricity is there, village is there, land is there, the rooms, you even more than 15 rooms in the house.
There of them. 15 bedroom house.
To come here, when you find yourself in Havana, you don't have a toilet. You are sleeping in the same room where you are cooking, where you are sitting. You see?
No, I hear you. I hear you. Now,
who is supposed to solve that problem?
It was supposed to be the people also. Just hold on. One second. Just hold on.
Great news. InBev just got even better. We have added great new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of InBev? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything InBev has to offer at an unbeatable price. InBev, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yeah, just your final input, especially regarding health and also economy, because the center of argument is you cannot operate an economy without a healthy human capital, and you can't say you are healthy if somebody has to come and define what does it mean to be healthy, what medication do you have, even if you don't understand the composition of those medication. Just your input, and also maybe to say what we need to do, because the point of argument here is also to say you have people like Obahimba tradition. These people, they are very good with what they did and what they are doing, and they remain very strong in terms of their medication and all these things. Yeah,
not only Obahimba, even Vamos, and then the Herreros in the village, they know.
Okay.
That's why you see people in the village there, deep in the village, have no problem with the, when they see that the government brought a clinic, they are happy.
Yeah?
Or they pray, they are happy.
They are not shocked.
Because for they are not. Ndere punda italini mwezike inalihara pehajoko ka na kagwe mano epundo juka pombada ohanisa akawanga etavalisa konkunda.
Yeah, Dr. Kweli.
That's why people in the village doesn't understand what is state and government. They thought the social way told me is that when they go in the villages, people are giving goat, they are giving chicken. Why? Because they thought unkwaniwe hapo.
Oh,
that's understanding. Unkwaniwa ngokuwa posi ma, unenetu kokuwa posi monyenda.
Oh,
monyenda. They treat that person as a guest.
I hear you.
So these things, that is what we need to understand. That's why we said when you see medical, when we're talking about, look, ours is organic. For them, it's chemical.
Yeah, it's chemical.
The Western medication is chemical medication.
And very dangerous.
Organic. Now, when we are teaching, why are you not teaching that? Look, until people die.
But people are dying with those those knowledge if you are not careful also.
Sarah. You know, Western medication,
It's true, but they don't do that to their children. They have a certain way of treating them also. But we don't get those medication here. That's why if somebody has a mental problem in Namibia, we look at it as it's already the end. But in other countries, people can come back to normal. They call it breakdown and what they don't call it what we call them. But in Namibia, if somebody go through 16, it's difficult for him. Something come back really if you put more effort, but sir.
On Zitagaruka?
It's true.
Zitagaruka it's a way of understanding to say, look, it's at the center of everything.
Mm.
It's education.
Mm.
That's why they even lie to you to say, look, there are private school
mm.
and the public school.
Mm.
Little we know,
mm.
we all came from private school. Private school starts with Africans in the house.
So we also have private school in our, but we are better than our private school also.
Oh, bossa.
Mm.
Because the traditional knowledge in Africa is passed over through a generation in a family. Ngero ngrupo hapango oshike Washingtona hapanga kishike in Mehenzo. It's something in the family that has to be passed over from generation to generation. Ngere your family was not given it anything. Otoke shironga koskora.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to learn that thing in school.
No, it's a very big argument. It's a very big argument. Okay.
You are going to learn that thing from school.
Yeah.
That's why the public school were created. It were created by the people who have knowledge, who want labor. Ne? People who want labor are the people with the knowledge are the one who created public school. And some remain with the private school also. That's mm-hmm. why the people with knowledge, they don't send their kids to private school, even here in Namibia. Why do you never see their kids in your public school? Why? With the knowledge. Those who have garage, they have what? Farm and what? Their kids, they are always at the farm. They are only taught how to read and write. After the father passed away, then he took over the farm.
And then
he still continued to be a mini like in a
MD. Okay, let's listen from Ada. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, it's 21 minutes past the hour of 7. We are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. They got about a very strong argument to say everybody came from private school. And we also really need to question this question and also ask real questions to say, how can we operate a healthy economy with a healthy human capital? What is that we need to do? What research need to be done? And also, what knowledge have we abandoned as Africans? And why is it so difficult for us to be in order? You know, he gave a very good example contraceptive, if I have to put it that way. It's quite a very big word. He gave a very good example to say, with a modern system, it can be very dangerous. It cannot be fitting to everybody, particularly when you look at women. But in our old tradition, especially from my perspective, you know, Shuamba, there is a certain way. If your mother is well skilled, or if your mother has that knowledge, to say, no, my daughter is not going to be pregnant, then what? It's called okutsirikwa. It's a method of contraceptive. Nothing will happen to you. You can sleep with 20,000 men. Fertile. It will not happen. It will not happen. But these things are abandoned because when modern medication comes, it becomes so, every African knowledge becomes so demonized. And we come to the point of realizing to say we demonize all our African knowledge, then we put every cent that we have on medical aid to sustain somebody else. Then they gave us medication that only to prolong our life so that we can continue being given those assistance. Another good example that is being presented is the issue of mental health. No, nobody did the research about this. If somebody is mentally ill, even at level one, mentally ill, then go towards 16, they start giving them this medication. This person becomes so weak without that medication. Have you ever asked yourself why? This person becomes so weak without that medication. Yes, he can look normal if he's given that medication from mental health. He can come back to work and do all the things. But the moment this person is not able to use those medication, he becomes worse, even worse than that. Now you're asking yourself a question to say, where is the real medication that can allow this person to be stable? But in other tradition, if somebody is mentally ill, person can come back to normal without any, can come back to normal with traditional medication. But now we are distorting things now to some extent that, you know, some people use also that opportunity to say they can also heal. That's why you don't know where to find a balance. But the point of argument here is that, for a very long time, African economies have been having developmental partners. But the one thing that we must be able to be very serious with is that developmental partners did not do justice to us, because what they did is that they made sure that they assist us, but in the process of assisting us, they also make sure that they have their bread, and that bread is for us to continue needing them. Imagine somebody is giving you an economic system or economic model that can be able to make yourself independent in terms of trade, in terms of, you know, innovation. This, you become so, you regard him as not useful in the future, and that is not what they want. That's why sometimes, when you go to the hospital, you visit the hospital, when you get sick, then you realize, say, man, is it really all this sickness caused by nature, or there is something? Either it's coming from the food that we eat, either it's coming from, prolonged medication. And the question is that, what is the impact of unhealthy human capital on the Namibian economy and also in the African economy? And what is that we need to do? But, the caller has put it out there very clearly to say it's just education. You need to educate yourself. All of us, we came from private school. Little did you know that education at home is private school. That is the knowledge that you are getting. When you go to public school, you already went to private school. But the question is also that, are we passing those skills to our children? Or we are just sending them to say, no, he went to a better school. But what are you learning at home? We have people, I like giving example of the Himba tribe. They have been in existence for as long as we have been in existence. But one thing that you cannot take away from them is that they managed to withstand test of time, colonialism, modernization, and transformation. They managed to maintain their culture, and they are intact. Yes, they developed. You find them here in town. Some of them are doctors, lawyers. But when they go home, they wear and practice their tradition. Now the question is that for how long? Until we don't have those open, knowledge that we must imitate and incorporate them in our medication. How many of our medical research are going to that area? And, some of us, we see, you know, some people, they come as tourists and they just go there and copy all the knowledge. One, when you wake up, there's certain medication coming from outside, apparently is curing A, B, C, and D, but it's coming from your backyard. That's why the argument today is that, what is that we need to do to make sure that we maintain the healthy system, the healthy human capital, and also advance our economies? Because you need human capital for you to have effective economy. And in terms of medicine, we should not cry. I'm not saying we should not use them. And you must get me very clear. We must develop a plan to say, by 2035, to say we should no more cry when pharmacies are empty, because that is, even psychologically, they become what we depend on. Even psychologically, it become what you depend on. When you go back beforehand, you realize to say organic food, organic, medications are more effective than any others because they are coming from nature and they don't have a lot of chemicals. They don't have chemicals, actually. That's why those years, a person can live until 110 years. But now when somebody reaches 65, it's a big celebration to say, yes, you have lived. But the caller made it very clearly to say, it's not a matter of two fighting ideas, but it's a matter of complementing one another. It's a matter of complementing one another to say, okay, China did this, Japan did this, Cuba, Russia. Combination of modern medication with traditional medication and complement one another. So that, we don't just have people who are so addicted by a system and to continue milking our finance, which is actually not the right thing. And also for our government to protect us also to say, for our government to protect us, invest more in research, particularly medical research. Invest more in research. Do what international standards require for you to invest in that research. And have a lot of researchers within any critical, field of study. So that is the only way that you can stand on your own. Have a team of researchers and have a new generation of 21st century researchers in medicine, medical researchers, scientists. And, at one point I was at NIP, then I think I said this before when Professor Nisha Peters has a presentation there. Say no, in terms of Africa, the investment in research is less. It's less. And the laboratories that we have in Namibia, any other universities, not all of them are internationally recognized. And not all of them are at a certain standard that is required. That's why research is very poor in Namibia. And research is not only about sitting and read books, but it's about going to the field. Talk to people. And these are things that we don't speak about. And people have changed their body structures are not looking the same anymore because of certain medication that they have used. And people don't speak about this. Some people, you don't even recognize them when you look at them. They change completely, but the person was trying to cure a certain disease, then he become a different person. But dear listeners, we are here to educate one another. We are not the know-it-all, but we are here to educate one another to say what is that we can do, especially to make sure that our economy is not impacted by continuation of depending on other technical assistance, fighting diseases after diseases, which is inevitable when you are living with human beings, but it's also questionable if you don't have control over. Because I can't get sick today, then tomorrow you are coming to me that you have a cure for my unique sickness. Then I take that and I have another disease. Then you can also come to say you have a cure. Then I have a question for you to say, no man, I think, why do you want to create dependency on me? Go and look at the records. You have seen statistics on argument of tenders of medications. When look at studies, how much Namibian government is spending on medication. Go and take these records. And do not be surprised. Do not be surprised. And I'm just advising, do not be surprised what would happen. Because at one point, I think it's last year when, last year around this time, when I think Telecom was hacked or something, when there was a cyber attack. And one of the data which was stolen is the Ministry of Health. And you know what that means? It means business. Because if somebody know what you are sick or what sickness you have, they can create a fake medication for you. But what I'm trying to present to today is that for us to have a healthy nation, we should invest in research and development, and we should also go back to old knowledge and also ask to say, what is that that we can use differently? What is that that we can use, and that what is that that we cannot use? And I'm not saying we should abandon the modern medication. What I'm saying is that we must be confident enough, coming up with strong testing mechanism, confident enough to say, this is where we want to take our country. This is where we want to take our country. Because a healthy nation is a developing nation, because if you are healthy, you are effective. And if you are healthy, you can make sound decisions. That is why today we are speaking about the impact of health on the economy, particularly on the developing nations. We are very happy to have nurses and doctors, but we will be more grateful to have them not only, be part of the system, but we are going to be more grateful to have a new medical researchers, new public health researchers who can discover and also, come up with medication from our own country that can be used not only in Namibia, but also at an international standard. And also to say, what have we learned from others? Because sometimes you just need international exposure. To say you send your students not only for scholarships, but them to go and look at what other countries are doing. Look at the beautiful case studies of China and Cuba. We have a lot of doctors from Cuba, but do we have researchers who go there and see what need to be done? For us not only to be, Africa is a case study of, every other student in the world to say, if you want to do your research, go to Africa. There's a certain disease. COVID came, everybody's running. To say, no, we are discriminated in terms of vaccine. Why can't you make your own vaccine after all those years? But, thank you. I think, few institutions, I think it's UNA made, sanitizers, and it's a good development also to say we also come up with something. And I see some entrepreneurs during that time, they came up with sanitizers and they made, real money during COVID-19. But we need to do more than that to say, where do we want to go? What do we need to do? At what pace are we moving it? So, dear listeners, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. It's 36 minutes past the hour of 7. And we are looking at a short commercial break. Then from there, we'll look at what do we have in the Villager newspaper today? What do we have in the economic paper today? And we can take it from there.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of faith.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
It's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who you know does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we have been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Goeie nuus, Kimba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternieuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en krachtiger te maak as ooit tevore. Is jy gereed om die volle potentieel van Kimba te geniet? Kry alle eksklusieve funksies vir slechts $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons speciale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Kimba bied in een onverbeterlijke prijs. Kimba, waar die wereld samenkomt, laat het af en teken vandaag aan.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who doesn't have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we have been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future. Eagle at them.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM.
Yeah, it's 39 minutes past the hour of 7, and we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And we are looking at the Villager newspaper. We are always indicating to you that every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, make sure that you have access to the Villager newspaper. And look on top of the Villager newspaper. Its local authorities requested 8.4 billion from Road Fund. And this is one of the article on top of the Villager newspaper. Go and look at that to say and expand it. As you know, you see local authorities, they're asking, or they have asked, 8.4 billion from Road Fund, and Road Authority could only give them 3.7 billion. Go and expand. What for? Is it for the construction of the roads? What for? Go and expand, read the Villager newspaper. Then you can be able to get that content. You look at page 3 of the Villager newspaper. You'll be able also to see January 2026 intake application is now open. Application deadline is today. When you get that money, go and apply to Velvicia University. Go and apply for your master's. Go and apply for your postgraduate degree. You want a postgraduate diploma in higher education, level 8, that is 1 year. You want a postgraduate diploma in project management at Velvicia University, that is 1 year. You want a postgraduate diploma in business administration, postgraduate in monitoring and evaluation, postgraduate diploma in occupational health and safety, and a master's of higher education. Don't just be an ordinary teacher. Be a highly qualified teacher who can operate beyond the school level, can work for the ministry, and you can also work at education at the higher institution of learning. Make sure that you have that master's of higher education, that is with Velvicia University, and also have a master's of project management, master's of monitoring and evaluation, master's of occupational health and safety, and a master's of business administration. We see MBA in the corporate sector. Everybody want to be a CEO. Everybody want to be a manager. But MBA is an advantage of leadership and also planning, either it's finance or strategic planning. Make sure that when it's coming to an MBA, you can also go to Velvicia University. Then you have your Master's of Business Administration. And the application is only 230 Namibian dollars. And the deadline of application is 30 November 2025. Make sure that you do that. Yeah, look at the page 4 of the Villager newspaper. You'll be able to see that farmers age to diversify crops this planting season. An article by my colleague Louis Sashimi there. You'll be able to read and get an expansion to say what does it mean when it comes to diversification. Is it really necessary to be just depending on one crops? To say, just mahangu and maize. What is the process of diversification? If economists are saying for the success of the country, We need diversification in terms of our economy. It's also the word of farmers to say, let us not only produce one, one crop, but make sure that you have different kinds of crops that you can use. Here you put maize, here you put mahangu, here you put groundnuts, here you put sweet potato, here you put, potatoes, and diversify so that at least in terms of agricultural production, you have, enough yield. And page 5 is domestic investors gave government or lent government 143 billion. Domestic investors lent GRN 145 billion. It's 145 billion Namibian dollars. Make sure you read and expand that, expand that, that news. So, the other news, or the other article is on page 6, where you have, African Authors Recognition Award launched. African Authors Recognition Award launched. Are you a writer? Are you a writer? Are you a, somebody who communicate through written words? You wrote books, you wrote manuscripts, and spoke about, African Authors Recognition Awards that was launched. Go and read, and also be able to get understanding who won and who participated. But for now, let's look at commercial break, then we can continue with the Villager newspaper.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine, no, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you, because you clearly haven't been planified. Like boring day at the Spani. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And when you look at the Villager newspaper of today, page 7, you'll be able to see an opinionated article by Mattia Sangala. Do we need a tax system to compel non-supportive children? Get that and read, especially when it comes to non-supportive children. And it's an opinionated article. And we'll be able to expand on that. And you can also look at page 8. You can also be able to look at page 8, where you can be able to realize that when you look at page 8, you can be able to realize that it's also an opinionated article by Christoph Steenkamp, and state that a tight night team drives business turnaround. If you are interested in business, the business turnaround strategy, make sure that you read the Villager newspaper. And look at page 9, and you'll be able to see that when it's come to Vumanbrock, it's a big festival saving sales there, where you'll be able to get your mixed portion of Kadila chicken. Also be able to get your Polana elbows. You can be able to get your original Coca-Cola 2 liters, just with 20 Namibian dollars. Back Pro, can get Oros and many other, items from Vumanbrock. But for more information, make sure that you read the Villager newspaper. You subscribe by sending your name and save this number as your WhatsApp contact detail. That is 081-241-44 or 081-241-44. So it's 48 minutes past the hour of 7, and we have enough minute. You can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401-083-288-401. Today we are speaking about a healthy economy, and we are speaking about what can we do to make sure that we upgrade our game of health, not only to stress Dr. Widow with you know, lack of supply of medication, but also to see what can we do, what other things can we do to make sure that when it comes to health, when it comes to health in Namibia and also in other African countries, you know, we are at the standard where it's required. Even the aspect of saying what are the healthy routines that you need to do, either it's exercising, either it's eating healthy, either it's keeping yourself away from negative, you know, conversations, either it's, you know, it's mindfulness and many other, you know, things that need to be done to make sure that you keep a doctor away. Because eating healthy is thought to keep a doctor away. And to say instead of me getting 25 bottles of wine, at least one glass after a very long day can also be useful, because the way we consume, especially as Namibians, we have a record, but it also says a lot about how our health will look like. A lot of people, they will look at us and they will capitalize on our health the next 10 years to see when it comes to your lungs, when it comes to your, it's come to your river, it comes to your system, you are already a project of somebody, to make sure that you know, he or she get money from you, capitalizing on your weak health body. But not to speak about you know, some incidents, they come as accidents, some incidents they come through nature, some sickness can come from nature, but there are things that we can prevent. There are things that we can prevent. There are things that we know that what we are doing is not right, but we continue doing them. But in terms of a healthy economy, to say when you look at Agenda 2063, when you look at Agenda 2030, when you look at developmental goals, is to say, yes, we have a very good plans, but who is going to implement those plans? Those developmental plans will be implemented only by those who have capacity, by those who are strong, by those who are effective. Because even if I have a very good mind, and you are not able to reach your destination due to illness, it's a shutdown, it's a hit to the Namibian economy, and it's also a hit to the production of the productivity of the country. But let us consider and prioritize that. And yeah, apart from that, it's also quite important, especially to look at what conversation did we have today that, you know, look at what we are discussing right now, especially when it comes to having parallel knowledge and also complementing knowledge, to say if something is working for you, if something is working for you, it must be used. And let us not be naive. Let us not be naive. Just because something is modern doesn't mean that it's 100% useful. And you need to balance between the two. Because no one, there is no pharmaceutical company that will be happy. And this is common sense to say, if all Namibians, we take care of our body, we eat healthy, we exercise, we keep ourselves from a lot of negative people, we are just doing very well. And, you know, we don't attend clinics every time. And we are self-sustaining, particularly in terms of producing of our own food. We eat organic. is it going to be useful? Are we going to be good clients to pharmaceutical companies? If you are protected, if you are having, we are protected sex and we are using right contraceptives and also we are taking care of ourselves and our loved ones. Are we really going to make pharmaceutical companies happy? They are not going to be happy. And the equation is like this. The unhappiness of a pharmaceutical company, the unhappiness of a pharmaceutical company is the health of your economy. Because other countries, they are ahead than that. If you invest in the research, you can be able to stand on your own because you have a say. But if you don't have a say, then if you don't have a say in what you consume, then you are being controlled. Because I was reading somewhere to say there are only two things. You are either in control or you are under control. But in terms of our health and economy, are we in control of our health and economy, or we are under control? If you are under control, who is controlling us? Because we have a market. And a market which capitalizes on your health must be a market which must be looked at. But we also need to find a way on how we can get ourselves out of things that continue to capitalize on us. Because imagine money spent on expanding our stock in terms of medicine and drugs could have been used somewhere else. Money spent on expansion of, hospital storerooms and also expansion of bigger hospital could have been used somewhere. We could have used various systems. But just because our health is not at standard, that shouldn't be compromised. That is why we depend on that. That's why we have to come up with a way to say, in terms of long term, what can be done? What is a long term sustainable way of upgrading Namibia's health system? What needs to be done in terms of education system? How much is invested in research for medical purposes? How much is invested in the indigenous knowledge? And also how much is saved? And also how much is invested in quality assurance and standardization? Because if we invest more on quality assurance and standardization, it's easier for us also to see some of these things we don't want them. We want quality. Some of these, what you are calling to cure everything, we don't want them. We want quality. And that is the only way that we are going to improve, because you cannot run an economy if you are not healthy. You cannot run an economy if you are stressed, you are not thinking properly. You cannot run an economy if your employees are always on sick leave. You can't. You cannot run an economy if, people, they are not coming to work because they are attending funerals every Friday of employees because of sickness that cannot be cured. And also, we can only win if we use the two system. And we can only win if we balance the two system. And we also be honest with ourselves to say, we must incorporate what we knew before. Because people did not, why do you think Africa was not swept away by diseases before colonialism? People lived. People survived. And people, lived long. And people were strong and capable. But what is that we abandon, that we need to make sure that we bring on the table? And this can only happen if you have really, really true academicians and true leaders of academic institution who do not only look at what is coming in the modern education from outside, but also what is, gathered here in our locals to make sure that we run our country properly, because there is a huge relationship between healthy and the economy, because you always have to spend, and saving that money, you can be able to focus on other important things that not only to be on an economic defense mode, but to be, you know, an effective nation that take care of its own, but it's also an effective nation which respect and love its own knowledge and innovate from that point of view. So dear listeners, it's almost the end of our conversation. But, we are just indicating to you that continue following us at all our social media platform. Follow Eagle FM Namibia. That is on Facebook, on X, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And yeah, I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Michael Shoveri to unpack the day. From me, David Shombe. Bye-bye for now, and see you around.